All right, hello everybody. Hey, welcome, hey. Welcome to the seventh edition of Bang the Knicks podcast. I'm here with Brendan and Zachary, and we're here on a Monday night, less than 48 hours before the next Knicks game, where we have Kristaps Porzingis going head-to-head with Karl-Anthony Towns, so that's going to be a big one. But, you know, we've hit a little bit of a kind of a slow point here with Kristaps hitting or not hitting the so-called wall. But how you guys feel? 11 and 14, I think, you know, there's been a lot of positives so far, but, you know, the last couple of games left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. What do you guys say?
Well, yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I don't know. I mean, we had all these big predictions. Remember, Brian had all these. He had what was the prediction? We were going to go
44 wins. I'm still not hopping off that bandwagon yet. I still think we have potential to hit that, but we got to start hitting on all cylinders rather soon.
I mean, if Melo plays like he did the other night, even 28 points like that every night, then we're fine.
Yeah, no, it was good to see a vintage Carmelo performance, especially after the non-foul call at the end of the Sacramento game, and just kind of, you know, it what seems to have been for the most part this year a slightly diminished Carmelo Anthony than Knicks fans have been accustomed to over the past few years.
You know who really needed to see that was Carmelo Anthony. I feel like he really needed that game, and that was a big boost for him, and we'll see where he goes. That was vintage Carmelo, you know?
Half the battle is mental.
Yeah, definitely. I think he might have gotten past that hurdle. You know, we've talked a lot about how, you know, they had the whole insanity issue and you know, the little Allen Iverson in Carmelo's brain, and I think maybe the fact that Porzingis didn't have a particularly good game, but Carmelo did, might have actually
zero
made
points.
It even better.
Yeah, that'll do.
Well,
it.
I don't know that. I did not agree before we had this podcast. I don't know that we had, you know, agreed that we would admit that he didn't have any points. I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but, you know, it's like the elephant in the room. You got to get it out of the way.
Well, it's like if your parents, you know, fight all the time. You know, you're just afraid that this one little thing could push it over the edge. That's what it's like. I don't think that it was wise to bring that up.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you. I'm kicking myself right now as we speak. Such an idiot sometimes. But I don't know if you guys follow Porzingis on Instagram or Facebook, but he always puts out after like every game like his the stats for the game. And I don't know if he like didn't put one out for that particular game, or if he did, that, you know, it would have been awesome either way. But nonetheless, a rough one.
It begs some metaphysical questions, because suppose Porzingis posted different stats than that had happened in the game. I mean, what would be the real stats?
Ooh, I think the stats Porzingis actually posted on his account. He would change.
He doesn't lie.
I mean, that's the easy answer. I don't know what the real answer. I tend to agree with you, but I just questioned my own judgment a little bit. I don't know. Brendan, what are your thoughts?
Porzingis never lies. He's a god. They don't lie.
That's right. Okay, fair enough.
So what happened? We were it's been a while since the last podcast, but, you know, we were 10-10 after beating Brooklyn a couple of Fridays ago, it seems like, and you know, four losses in a row, each, you know, kind of more disheartening than the next.
Definitely.
You know, then we get the win in Portland, so just things seem a little off. You know, the offense, it seems kind of slow and plodding at times. And I would love to see, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would love to see some kind of shakeup in the...
Me too.
You know, the starting lineup or the way that Derek Fisher is using lineups going forward.
I want to see a Flalo off the bench.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's not a bad idea.
We need scoring off the bench. Yeah, I think that.
Yeah, he would be huge.
Him and Derek Williams off the bench, but then we're going to let in. It's going to be like a sieve on defense. But
But, like, you figure you're going to be running an up-tempo offense. You're going to be having, like...
Yeah,
that night Melo was out that Aflalo played, it was, like, unbelievable how well
Who would you put in the starting lineup? I'm thinking Calderon and Galloway and
Yeah, I mean, I think that's perfect. And then you have a Grant, Aflalo, Lance Thomas, Derek Williams. Serafin or Quinn, whoever's playing well.
Well, that's one thing I want to mention. I think Thomas's play has been a bright spot. I feel like he's
been wonderful.
He's been very good. I didn't really expect it.
He has range. His defense is amazing. He's a little sloppy, but, you know, he's not Carmelo. So, like, you can't really blame him for being sloppy. Like, whatever, that happens.
No, but again, I mean, we have this sort of a logjam there at the three behind Carmelo. And, I mean, I don't know. I guess we've given up on Clay Anthony early. He's like a mascot at this point.
Yeah. I would like to see, honestly, I don't know how popular of an opinion this is, but Robin Lopez has a good contract, and he doesn't quite fit what we're trying to do.
And I agree.
I think we could get a lot of value back from
what?
Him.
What are we gonna
I agree.
What do you guys think?
I don't know who. I'm not in that at all position, but I mean he's a starting caliber center on good teams in the NBA.
Right.
I don't know who we get back that's a point guard that would actually make an influence for us, but like having KP at the 5, Melo at the 4, Lance Thomas at the 3, Galloway at the 2, and X at the 1, like that's a very, very good starting lineup.
Yeah. I want to see some more of Porzingis at center and like a little bit of Derek Williams playing the power forward next to him with Melo at the 3.
Derek Williams at the 3.
Yeah, oh, Derek. I mean, Mello, they're kind Mello of interchangeable. Three,
so
four,
good
those
at
two.
The four, though. Melo plays so good at the 4.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. But like at that point, when you're playing a lineup with Porzingis at center, and Melo, and you know Derek Williams, and he kind of switch on and off defense, offense a little bit. You know, they're both pretty versatile. But I just want to see a faster lineup like that. Putting
what
Grant
do you think
point
of this?
Guard.
I kind of had an idea. I was watching the other day, and it just kind of struck me: what if they did this? You got Porzingis at center, Carmelo and Derek Williams, and the backcourt is Galloway and Jerian Grant. And
I was just thinking the exact same thing: is that lineup is so fast, and the spacing is unbelievable.
Right, and you have like you have backcourt defense, and you got Porzingis.
Yes.
I mean, you got
Derek Williams, who's not the greatest, but. Melo can put down the lockdown.
Yeah,
whatever.
You're covering for Derek Williams.
Derek Williams is just filling in, like, you know, wherever on that kind of lineup. Being
I mean,
a hustle guy.
I don't know why we haven't seen that lineup yet.
Yeah, I agree. I'm salivating over here just thinking about them playing together.
Yeah, Derek Williams, I'm sure, is curious about
that,
too.
That.
Yeah,
but that, you know, it's...
What are we going to get for Lopez? I mean, there's been a lot of talks about these ridiculous trades that we're going to go for, you know, Mike Conley. And what do you guys think of that?
There's no way we trade for Mike Conley.
I don't know. Would they accept the trade?
Dude, they're trying to win a championship. There's no way they're going to.
I don't know. Okay, let's just
I know they're not going to get it.
How about this? What if the Grizzlies continue to play poorly and they continue to play very they take a turn for the worse, they're playing very badly, they have to make a trade, Mike Conley looks like he's going to leave, they could take a couple picks, 3 second rounders, and Jerian Grant and Galloway, maybe. I don't know
how old is Mike Conley now,
dude? 20,
like 45
7 28
late 20s
29 30
going on
29. Yeah, yeah, 29.
He'll be 29 next year.
But he is—he's a very good player. He's very smart.
He's a perfect triangle point guard too.
He's a perfect triangle. He's perfect for this team. I'd be happy with him. I'm just saying. If the Knicks pulled that trigger, I wouldn't be upset.
I'm not saying I wouldn't be happy with him. I just don't think it's a plausible trade.
I mean, I'd be pissed if I was a Grizzlies fan. That's for sure.
Well, they're already ready to fire Dave Yeager, so I don't know.
Yeah, Zach Randolph moving to the bench now. Things are changing.
They're like trying to speed up the lineup. They're trying to change the way the team plays, but they don't have enough shooters.
Yeah, they don't have shooters. I don't know why they've never corrected that. I know this is the next podcast.
It's not like a hard fix.
It's made no sense to me. And, you know, here's the thing, too. Jeff Green is a cancer. I don't know what his deal is. I don't think it's personality or anything like that. I've only heard positive things about him. But he just makes teams bad. It's that simple. You don't want him on your team. Look at how good they were before they had him.
It's weird that there's just certain guys in basketball who it's hard to pinpoint
Swaggy
it, but you know, they turn into a net negative for whatever reason, even though they fill up the box score in various ways and you know, they garner accolades. Just certain guys, they wind up being a net negative on the team. Kind of like Rondo. Rondo's putting up big stats in Milwaukee now, but the team is actually playing way better. They're putting up 5 points more per game, like when he's on the bench. So
yeah, you might be right. He does look good, but
no, he looks great. He passes the eyeball test. He's putting up stats, but you know, when you think about something like that, how the team is playing significantly better with him on the bench, and then you look at how he's, you know, different things about him not being a good shooter, and that how that affects how the defense approach things. You know, so.
If he had range on his jump shot, he'd be a wonderful point guard.
Oh, he'd be amazing. He'd be if he had a jump shot.
He'd be the best point guard in the league.
I wanted him to go.
If he had a jump shot, he'd be the best point guard in the league.
I wanted the Knicks to go for Rondo. Frankly, I don't know if I still do
too.
I'd like to see. I just like Rondo. I think that's all it is. I'm just a fan of.
And him and Melo are friends, so that might work.
Yeah, but. You know, does he fit in the team? We have a lot of firepower. I mean, this might be just the right fit for him, theoretically. You got shooters, you got a big man that can shoot. In a weird way, Porzingis is this weird X factor where I could see him, the fact that you got a stretch center that can play inside defense, you know, he can shoot the three-pointer, maybe that works with Rondo, I don't know.
I mean, that kind of spacing in itself is great for Rondo, but like what does a point guard closely defending or sagging on Rondo really affect the team? Like, he's the guy that's going to drive. If that guy's sagging, he can drive and then kick.
Yeah, you can kick it to Carmelo Anthony or Porzingis.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Or Porzingis or Aflalo or Derek Williams.
But the problem is, it's the triangle. It's Phil's team. And, you know, he doesn't listen to us. I know that... earlier on, it seemed we've reached out to him a few times, and you know he has not agreed to come on the show yet. But well, I think it's a lot because of the fact that we've been so difficult on him in the triangle. But you know, time will tell. We have a lot more games left, so we might be able to get him on.
I guess we'll be able to book a Stephen A. Smith, Phil Jackson reunion at some point this year.
I heard that's possible.
They're going to hash it out, I predict. Before all is said and done.
And the ratings will skyrocket. And, you know, we might be making so much that we'll finally be able to, you know, throw Brendan a few coins from what we get from all of our sponsors.
Yeah, thank God. I've been waiting for a fucking check.
You know, hey, you don't want to end up like Kevin. All the fans are always asking, what happened to Kevin? What happened? But he asked too many questions. He asked too many questions. That's all I'll say.
I'm sure Kevin is listening right now, though.
Anyway,
hello, Kevin.
What are you guys thinking of our playoff chances at the moment? Is that are we feeling like the Knicks? We're optimistic. We got a good shot, or no? I mean, we're down in the bottom of the East, frankly.
Yeah, things are so tight. It's remarkably tight in the East. But if you look at the standings, everybody is separated by a game or two. So I think right now we're about 3 games out. And I feel personally that I feel like we've underperformed, but at the same time, just looking at it objectively right now with the whole kind of how things don't exactly fit, the whole Robin Lopez thing, is Derek Fisher going to make adjustments on the fly? Even though I predicted 44 wins right now, and I shift a lot, and I'm going to admit that. I'm just right now, I'm kind of pessimistic about it.
I think the problem is, I agree with you, and I think the problem is, you know, you'd have to be a total homer to be like, oh, the Knicks, they're going to turn it around, because you'd need to, you know, not be looking at the other teams in this conference. All the other teams are playing well except the Nets. And I mean, the Sixers don't count, but the rest of the teams, the Bucks are turning around a bit. Wizards
the Bucks
turn it
actually
a bit.
Seem. Whenever I watch the Bucks, they seem awesome, but you know, yeah, they're one of the worst teams in the East. But they have some talent.
They had a rough go of it at first in the beginning of the season,
is normal when you add like a solid player in Greg Monroe and then get Jabari back. Like that's gonna cause some issues.
I think that Michael Carter Williams trade is going to haunt them. I mean, honestly, it's already looking pretty bad. I mean, they traded away. Didn't they trade a draft pick as well to get to?
I don't know.
Well, I know that the Lakers pick went from the Suns.
The Lakers pick
from,
went to the Sixers.
From Phoenix, but I think they should have kept
and then
Brandon
Phoenix
Knight.
Phoenix got Brandon Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, I think they should have too. Brandon Knight was a much better point guard.
Yeah. I think Michael Carter Williams look too good on the Sixers, and that brings me to a larger point.
He's throwing
which is,
up triple doubles all the time.
Okay, I'll put it this way: Sixers guards look better than they are, right?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And Sixers, is it true of Sixers centers? Maybe. I wouldn't say this, but I think a lesser man might suggest that Karl Anthony Towns and maybe even Kristaps Porzingis are getting some kind of inflation because they're getting more touches than they should. How would you tell that person that they're wrong? And if you heard them say that, what would you want to do to them?
I think both Kristaps and Karl Anthony Towns are getting less touches than Okafor is.
That true?
I mean, KP's got to play with Melo, and Melo's going to get his own. And then Karl Anthony Towns is on a team with Andrew Wiggins, Kevin Garnett, and some budding, and Ricky Rubio, and Zach LaVine. Like, those guys are getting touches, too.
That's true.
Right, but like you also got to look
at
the quality of the touches. I mean, Okafor has really
Okafor
nobody getting
only,
in the ball where he needs
the
ball.
Only player who can shoot.
Yeah, I think it's a point guard thing. You know, I think that Michael Carter Williams and probably this McConnell guy are TJ. Yeah, I think it's the fact that they are bringing the ball down the court and they can be like, oh, I got no one to pass to, and they get to create, and someone's going to score sometimes. So I think that's more of what it is than anything.
I think all the Sixers' problems are about to be solved, though, by their new associate head coach that's coming in. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, Jerry Colangelo.
No, or their new associate head coach.
What?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Bill Brown has been doing fine.
Mike D'Antoni.
Oh,
no
yes,
way.
That's right. The Pringle
yes.
man himself.
Mike D'Antoni is going to bring 7 seconds or less to the Philadelphia 76ers.
That's great.
Wow.
I love it.
It's going to be beautiful. Go,
that's
go,
something
go.
Something else, man. Okafor is going to be in shape.
Yeah. Yeah. Be interesting to see. I don't know, you know, after D'Antoni's last couple of stops. But, you know, are there other associate head coaches in the NBA? How does this work?
Kurt Rambis.
Kurt Rambis is an associate head coach?
I think a lot of former Knicks coaches. I mean, Mike Woodson, he's on the Clippers. Is he an associate head coach? I don't think that Doc Rivers would allow him that title.
I think Patrick Ewing is also.
Really?
I think so.
You think Ewing will ever get a head coaching spot?
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I think, honestly, my thought on Ewing is I think he's the reason he's in coaching. I think he's still chasing that championship.
He's on the wrong team.
That's true. Is he still in Orlando or something?
The Hornets.
The Hornets, right. He was in Orlando for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was always hoping they would give him a shot at Georgetown, but that seemed like the most realistic place for him to
move
it. Yeah. I guess they got John Thompson Jr. there now, so.
That's right. Well, what do you think about regarding all these trade rumors with Conley? What do you think about our prospects in terms of the next free agency? You think that are we thinking about that yet, or are we still stuck in this season? Because I don't know. I like to talk about it, and I don't know if we're going to make the playoffs this year at this point. So, I guess when I think about trade scenarios from the Knicks, which has been in the news lately, especially with the whole Conley thing, and I just start to think we just don't have the pieces. And maybe we need to wait another year to get more pieces. We obviously don't have a draft pick, but we have cap room and we have a future, so that's enough.
I don't know what we get this offseason. There's not much out there. Like, Mike Conley, yes, but I don't think he's going to come.
Right. It's pretty overrated. It's an overrated offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Marc Gasol narrative. It's literally the same thing. Like, they're tied to Memphis. Like, them two together are tied to Memphis. And then other than that, it's like, we're not going to get Kevin Durant, most likely. And if we do, it's a funky fit, but we can make it work somehow.
You don't think
all
we get Durant?
All the rest of them are restricted.
You don't think that Porzingis is enough to bring Durant here?
I mean, so we run Durant at the 3, Melo at the 4, Porzingis at the 5. That's filthy as fuck. But, like, I just don't see Durant wanting that to be his situation. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it would be enticing. It would certainly
be
enticing.
Like, Durant wants to be the number fucking one guy. And when he goes, if he goes to Washington, he's the number one guy. If he goes to LA, he's the number one guy. Like,
right. Does he, though? Or does he want.
He wants
does he want to win and be part of, like, a.
World.
Right. But he wants to win titles now. So he's got to be looking, where can I. Like, you know, is leaving Durant. Or excuse me, is leaving Westbrook. You know, one of the top six players in the league. Like, is that going to help him win titles to go with Melo, who's going to be 32, and Porzingis, who's 20?
That's never worked for him. Westbrook needs to be the center of an offense. I think Westbrook is just, I mean, he's an amazing force of nature, but I don't think that has what it takes to be a winner. I think he's got the Iverson problem, as we talk about, you know, like, he just.
Right.
In a way, but it's just he does. Does he pull away from Durant in a way? I mean, I can see the chemistry between how they play, but I don't know. I just don't. I've
but
never
great,
felt like
great
that was
players.
An actual fit.
I feel like great players recognize true greatness. And is Durant going to look at the Washington situation and be like, "Ooh, I want
to
play with"?
He's
Daniel
not going to
Washington. You know,
hell
so, I mean,
no.
That's
there is no
right,
way.
That's that's not a good situation either. You know, I don't know. I think he stays at Oklahoma City, but
maybe.
We'll see. I don't
probably
know.
Does him staying make Westbrook stay?
Oh yeah,
I think so. I think because they're two, you know, they kind of need each other. Unless they wind up on like in a Golden State or San Antonio kind of situation where there's
what about
like a
Golden
culture.
State, man? I think there's a real possibility that Durant goes there. He wants a title. That would just ruin the league. But then again, we survived the Heat.
That would be unfair.
We survived the
that
Heat.
That would be worse than
that?
The 2010 thing.
Can they veto that?
They could actually, couldn't they? I feel like Westbrook's going to go to LA. I feel like he's going to be a Laker. That's what I think.
Just seems too perfect for him.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
With D'Angelo Russell, though, that would be an odd fit.
They'll trade Russell. Maybe they'll trade him before. It'll be like
Russell before Russell comes in.
Yeah. No, but I think that they might make that trade with Oklahoma City at some point. Who knows? What if Durant goes to Miami, you know, or maybe he goes to L.A.? Who knows? He could go anywhere. I don't know. I guess, to me, I just assume that who would want to live in Oklahoma City? I mean, I don't think against Oklahoma City. It just seems.
It's not New York.
Yeah, it's not New York. That's, yeah. Maybe he doesn't realize that it's not New York. I'm sure he's been here before, right?
At least twice.
Yeah, it's got to be hard when you, like, come to Madison Square Garden and you see, like, how awesome it is and then compare that to the Oklahoma City, whatever the hell they call it over there. It's always, like, some named after some strip mall or something in most of those towns.
I think which one is the Smoothie King Stadium? Maybe that's
New Orleans.
Yeah, and then the Sleep Train in Sacramento. And,
yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
I think it's Chesapeake Energy, I think, something like that.
Ooh, that sounds good like that. For them, yeah.
Which has always bothered me because it's not anywhere near the Chesapeake Bay. But I think in the middle of Oklahoma, they're just looking at the geography out here and like, oh yeah, okay, we'll take that. Like the same way we think of Sonoma or something like that.
So what do we have to do to get Durant? Because we can't just pay him outright. We don't have enough cap space.
I think a good start would be getting him on the podcast. When do the Knicks play Oklahoma City? We could just talk, you know, we'll get him, we'll soften him up a little bit. And
We could start one of those, like, come on LeBron campaigns that they had years ago.
Yeah, just, like, that was
trying
sad.
Trying to sell them. I was
did you,
so
did
sad.
Did anyone think that LeBron was coming to New York? Did anyone think that? I think I really believed that at one point.
I was totally convinced
totally
of it.
I thought it was going to happen. I really did.
I thought the whole Boys and Girls Club, like, in Greenwich thing.
Oh, yeah.
The whole wedding that weekend, I was like, it's totally happening. There's no way it's not happening. Not the whole.
I remember listening to the radio. I was listening to the radio that day before nonstop, and when they made that announcement about how the press conference was going to be like right over by you, Brendan, and like Westchester or something, I was like, oh my goodness, it's done. And then MSG stock started going crazy. It was. It seemed like it was happening, like the first episode of Bang. It's happening. But.
All right, guys. So let's look at them. Let's look at the week ahead, next couple weeks. Actually, you know what? Let's take a look at the remainder of 2015 and make some predictions about where we think the Knicks are going to go. What do we think is going to happen? So on Wednesday we get the Timberwolves. We're going to be out in Minnesota. What do you guys think?
I think it's a nice battle, but I think we win. I think beat Philly.
I think you're right. I think that's.
I think
that's
we beat
two.
Chicago too.
Yeah, you know it.
I think we. I think we beat Cleveland. I think we beat Atlanta and Boston.
Probably.
And
so wow! Brendan. I'm impressed by your bravado.
You know what?
Yeah,
Dad?
I mean, they're all just gonna go in a slump right now. And we're gonna
the talk. Only team that I. Well, actually, no. You know, I take that back. I think you're right. I think that that's about right. I think we have a tough time with Orlando and Philly, but the rest of them, I think it's gonna be a cakewalk.
I'm excited to see Porzingis versus Towns on Wednesday night with Porzi. KP coming off his, his unfortunate showing the other night going against.
He's got rest.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. Just, the legs are going to be rested. We haven't seen a putback dunk now in a few games, so I'm ready for a poster.
Yeah, you know, at this point in time, I feel like I'm more concerned about Porzingis' well-being than I am with the Knicks winning in a weird way, you know. So more frantic about the Knicks. Yeah, I feel more frantic about the Knicks getting players to make Porzingis feel happy than I do about them getting players, you know, to build a better team. But I do think that Porzingis has emerged as this game-changing player, and the Knicks need to just sort of change all their plans to work around that, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I was going to write something. Sorry, you go.
Continue, Brendan, sorry.
I was going to write something about who we should get in free agency, and I was wondering what stats to look up, and I started looking up some stuff about post-up guards and guards that drive and kick and can shoot from threes, and I haven't done much on it, but I was going to write something.
Yeah, there's got to be, I'm sure there's that blessing or that's, you know, that guy that no one's, that's not getting the chance right now in a whatever environment that he's in. He's got to be out there, that diamond in the rough.
You know who I thought we should have gotten was Thomas Robinson, but I don't know. I don't know that he's just languishing. It kind of shows you, though, how important it is to have a start to your career, because he really had an ugly start, and I think he's just done at this point, maybe. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe he'll pull a Hassan Whiteside and just shock everybody. But
yeah, no, that is a possibility with him. It's weird, though, how much your situation can totally, you know, affect your entire career. If you don't get exactly that perfect shot, and some guys never get it, and some guys get it later, and some guys get it earlier, but it's the luck of the draw sometimes.
That's true. Now, I got to ask you guys something. We've heard Carmelo say that he's not getting the foul call treatment that he deserves. Now, is he or is he not, and is that a ridiculous concern? I mean, is it one of those things where it's like, I'm getting yelled at for steroids and nobody else is, or something like that?
I think he definitely is kind of getting screwed, and part of it, as kind of I've seen discussed, is that he doesn't flop at all. He's kind of, you know, he's a strong bully ball type of player, you know, kind of an old school offensive player, and he doesn't sell things. I mean, you know, LeBron is from his contemporary, and LeBron is far better, I think, at selling calls than Carmelo is, and I think that makes a difference, unfortunately.
It really is funny.
So fucked up.
It goes to his acting skills. No, he's really not a good actor. It is fucked up. You know, Brendan can be all sort of like, oh, it's all about direction and narrative, but no, acting matters, and Carmelo's just not the same actor. I mean...
It's so frustrating, though, because, like, that's fucking not how it should be. Contact is fucking contact.
Yeah,
How can a ref not tell that? How can a ref not see Melo? Like, obviously, he's not, I don't know, fucking... Yes, he's driving, but he's not driving to get a foul call. He's driving because he... And I don't even know. He enjoys the contact. No. That's the whole fucking point, I guess.
You think look he enjoys the contact?
Yeah, dude, he plays well when he gets contact.
Right.
I played pickup not long ago, and I was driving in, and I was trying to get contact because I knew that the contact was going to put me in the right spot to get the layup.
You know,
and I think that's the kind of thing he does.
I think he's just profoundly alone, and he enjoys the human contact. What do you guys think?
That's a possibility.
I mean, Lala is Lala. She's like cheating on him and shit, right?
I don't want to go that far with it, but...
Wasn't there rumors about that shit this summer?
Man, I wouldn't be surprised. Look, you know, I feel like, honestly, I said it before, I think Carmelo's a little depressed. I think that's the thing. I think he's...
Yeah, he could see... It's like kind of slipping away from him at this point.
Yeah,
he's the oldest dude on the team, too. Like, he's not named Jose.
That's true, but... He's the oldest English speaker on the team, and I think his career didn't go how he thought it would go. And
do you think if he tries to go out clubbing with the guys, they're like embarrassed by his presence?
Definitely. Yeah, he doesn't even know how to.
Dude, how old are you?
Right. Yeah. No, he doesn't. He doesn't listen to Fetty Wap, and he doesn't know emojis, and you know, he probably doesn't even have a Snapchat. I don't think.
He's got to get on Snapchat.
That's all the more reason to pick up Rondo. They could have someone to hang out with, and they can feel like they're, you know, fun old guys together.
Honestly, that's probably something they need to consider.
Yeah.
How old of a free agent do you bring in?
They could send him to a retirement home and just, you know, wash their hands of it.
I don't want Rondo, though, just because I think it's more important to build a culture around Porzingis, and I don't feel like bringing Rondo is a move in the right direction in that sense. Like,
yeah,
Rondo
it's the opposite.
He might win a few games, like, you know, with Carmelo, and you know he'll be unstoppable at times if they ever get to the playoffs. But you know, is that really what we want to see? You know, one playoff win where Rondo gets a triple double. You know, I'd rather that seems like an Isaiah style move to make to me. I'd rather focus on other things.
I think you're right, but maybe we all have this collective mentality that Isaiah was just tapping into, where we're just sad and desperate and scared.
That's definitely true.
Look what happened with the Knicks in the past, I don't know, like 8 games. Yeah, we won a couple games in the middle against teams like Brooklyn and, you know, the Sixers, but if you take that aside, we've been in a bad losing streak lately. It's not good, and we started off great. I don't want to end up like Sacramento last season, for example, where they started off very strong and just poosh, it went to the wayside. We're going to have to get our shit together, you know?
I think we will. I think that as the season goes on, we'll all be better in the triangle and playing together. Like, it doesn't take 20 games for a team to be good playing together.
I had a thought that I don't think that I've heard this yet. When did the Knicks start playing worse? It's when Aflalo... came back off the injury. Do you think that there's anything to that? I mean, not so much that he's not playing.
I think we got to play him off the bench. I mean, I thought about this the other day, that like Sasha was actually not awful. He was not awful on offense when he played. He was awful on defense, and so was Jose, and that was like a terrible combination, and we all know that. But that unit together they were fast. Sasha was a fast player. He ran hard, and he
was able
to make
an open
three.
Well, they don't call him the machine for no reason, you know?
No, exactly. And so, like, that was a good unit. And then the second unit was also good. I mean, I like Aflalo. I think he's a good player to have on the team. I don't know. Maybe I think he needs to go on the second unit. And Galloway needs to move on.
I've been really very happy with Aflalo. He's significantly better than I really gave him credit for coming in. You know, he's really excellent shooter. He's got like a mid-range post game, and you know, pretty smart. But I agree, off the bench, I would bring him off the bench too.
You know, in a way, he's like a same breath of fresh air version of J.R. Smith in a way. You know, like he seems like the nice guy who you know, kind of keeps to himself and is just orderly and does a good job, whereas J.R. Smith was kind of a bit clownish, to be totally fair. And have you guys ever heard the story about Aflalo when he was in high school?
I don't believe so.
Apparently, Aflalo had this, you know, like, he used to buy donuts every day, and he'd get, like, pre-orders of donuts. Yeah, and he'd bring them to everybody and have, like, pre-orders and stuff, and I don't know. I like Aflalo from a personality standpoint and a fit standpoint and all that. I think the Knicks' problem is very simple. We don't have firepower. We need scorers. We don't have any. Throwing Aflalo on the bench would help, but that's not enough. What do you guys think of as a solution for the Knicks short term? Like, what do you think we could really do that's plausible, that could really fix a team, whether it's trades, maybe there's some free agent we're not thinking about who we could pick up? What do you think?
How old is Nick Van Exel? About 50 now? Can we bring him in? He would be. I would like him if he was still. If it was, what, 2001? But unfortunately, that was 14 years ago. So,
for a lot of us, wish it was 2001 again.
Good times, good times. But somebody like that, you know, just a guy who, a fearless guy that could get into the teeth of the defense.
Who could be that guy?
So my thought here is
Nick Young,
part of the thing I was going to write was that DeMar DeRozan, and I don't want DeMar DeRozan because he can't shoot the threes, but he posts up at a decent clip and the same kind of numbers that Aflalo does, but so does Harrison Barnes. And so we got two options there. I think Harrison Barnes is the better option, but I don't
definitely
think we pull him away from Golden State.
It's possible. I think that's not a natural possible fit. He's going to get a max contract, I think, Barnes.
But he's also not a two guard. You could make him a two guard. You can make him a three, and then Melo the four. But that makes you get Robin Lopez out of the lineup, and then you have the same issue that you had, where you have Aflalo starting at the two.
I think Barnes could be a great NBA player. I think he could be an All Star. I think he could be a great breakout player. You know, I think he's got a great personality too. You know,
he's got the mentality to want it too. He's like ready for it.
Yeah,
which is why he didn't sign the extension.
You know where he's from, Barnes? He's from Iowa. You know that.
Really?
He's from like
that's
small
like
town
the middle
Iowa.
Of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, his.
Yes,
I guess
it is.
So I don't know. I mean, I just think he's got that right, very calm temperament,
which is what Phil loves. Phil's from Montana.
He could be zen-like. That's right. Phil's from out there too, right? They're
Montana
neighbors. Actually, I thought Phil is from one of the Dakotas.
North Dakota, maybe. Yeah,
North
you're
Dakota,
right.
Yeah.
Same shit. All that is the same shit.
Full flyover country.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to have Harrison Barnes in here. I like him. I've always liked him. And I mean, he's played in a system, so it's not like it's new. And if he could have a little bit more focal point, he was great at North Carolina.
That's for sure.
I think one of the things as Knick fans going forward that's going to make the rest of this season entertaining is the fact that we've got like a glut of front court guys that could be, that I think are attractive to other teams. Not just the guys we have on our squad, but we have Willie Hernan Gomez from this past draft, who was Kristaps's teammate back on Sevilla. And, you know, he's kind of highly regarded among a lot of NBA teams as a, you know, a prospect at center, power forward. So we got options. Like, you can do have a lot of fun with the ESPN trade machine in the next couple of months, just imagining different scenarios. So that's, you know, that's another fun thing that's more fun than we've had in the past few seasons following
so,
this team.
For shits, he's playing 10 minutes a game, averaging 5 points, three and a half boards. Almost a half a block. The 65% shooting. So, whatever. That's, grain of salt.
All right.
His per 36 are nice. 17.2, 11.9. I'm okay with that. If he can be putting Porzingis numbers next year.
That would be excellent.
I mean, he definitely will. No question about that.
That's what happens when they come from Spain, right?
That's right. I think it's maybe something they catch on the boat over here from Portugal or something.
That would be a fun boat, I bet.
That actually does sound like a lot of fun, come to think of it. But in any event, guys, so I'm happy to know that we're going to win the rest of the games for the next for the rest of the year. And look, you know, let's revisit this issue in a couple of days, you know, next week or something. And, well, honestly, I just hope to God we beat the Sixers. That would be sad if we lose. That would be a new low.
We won't.
I know. Well,
Jaron Grant won't let us lose to the Sixers.
No. Let me try that again. That'd be really sad if we lost to the Cavaliers.
Yeah, there you go. They'll be getting Kyrie back. That's going to ruin their chemistry, right?
Exactly. That's right. It's like a follow. Yeah. Anyway, guys. All right. I guess you guys got any parting words?
I agree with you. I want to see them beat Philly, and I'm hoping and I'm believing that Wednesday night Sports Center, they're going to be talking about Porzingis, Rookie of the Year, taking it to Mr. Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
That's, that's my prediction.
Taking him to Towns.
And whatever else. Oh, yes.
Ooh, you already worked for the
like
post.
Huh? Yep. That's right.
I like it, yes. We'll
see.
Alrighty, guys. I could see that actually being the back page if it happens. So, and it's going to happen. So,
it is.
Everybody out there, thanks for listening. Are we supposed to like tell people anymore to like
like our shit.
Subscribe, like it.
We're on iTunes.
Follow us on Twitter.
Upvote us on Reddit.
Upvote us, please. We need it. I mean, we don't need fuck that.
Yes,
we
please.
We don't need your shit. But if you do upvote us, yeah, that's cool. You know.
And when Brendan posted on Reddit, just, you know, love the hell out of it and
please.
Start a great conversation about the Knicks.
We don't get karma for it, so just fucking
none.
Do it anyway.
That's right.
And we'll make up some more fake accounts and we'll just do it on
Reddit. Whoa. We do not do that. That's
I mean,
that.
I will.
Only Brian does that.
Yes.
And Kevin.
That's just how I roll.
And Kevin, yes.
Actually, you know what? I wanted to break this last news as we're getting off. Did you listeners know that, in fact, Kevin was never on the podcast? It's merely a figment of your imagination.
I don't believe we've let the listeners know that, no.
No, it's true.
So people will have to go back in the archives and really kind of, you know, really listen to it very closely to solve this case.
It's, yeah.
If you're willing to take it on, people.
That's right. This has been Bang Nick's podcast, directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes. And I'm hoping my sound is significantly improved this week, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's better than it was.
We'll see what happens.
Good time.
I've been doing some stuff. So, all right. Well, hopefully it works out. Hopefully we're going to win the next couple of games, and we'll do this again soon.
All righty. Adios.
All right. Later. Bye-bye.